God is good. And all the time. Dan, thank you for that. I saw just an offbeat thing. I love it when Judeo-Christian things infiltrate, literally infuse into different venues. I love that. I saw a clip. I'm sorry, I have to watch it a little bit. I'm very careful how much time I spend on the phone. Very, very careful. But I saw a clip on America's Got Talent with Elevation's worship team on there, and they were singing this song, and they were going nuts. Come on. We're taking it back. The Spirit of God is taking it back. We're going to see it continue. We're going to continue to see the walls of the enemy crumble and fall. We're going to see the mindsets crumble and fall. We're going to see the strongholds taken down, but we cannot relent. We cannot slow down. We cannot stand back and, oh, this is wonderful. No, we got to keep pressing forward, church. Amen. We have to keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing and praying for our president and the government that is really redoing things. And I'm just going to say that from here. So praise God for that. I know God is really good. And I started a series called Jesus Is quite some time ago, and we're in the book of Timothy and 2 Timothy. And remember what I said last week, that we need three types of people in our life. Everyone say three. We need somebody over us that's running way ahead of us that can put into us. That's a Paul. We need a Paul in our life. And then we need a Barnabas, a buddy, a good buddy. Oftentimes that can be a spouse, but not always. You can have more than one buddy as far as I'm concerned. And then you need a Timothy. Paul poured his life into Timothy. And we need somebody that we can give into. So there's this continual flow, if I can use the word flux, of spiritual things in our lives coming from above and out of us and below us. So praise the Lord for that. The other thing I said last week was it's not important who we were. It's important who we're becoming. And that is a great line to remember for. You know, God covers our mistakes. He covers our failings. He covers our little doohickeys that we mess up. And he covers it with his grace. Aren't you thankful for grace? Everybody thankful for grace today? Hallelujah. So, really had a lot of fun. I got more arrows and notes on this thing than I've had for quite some time. But anyway, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I love it in verse 7. I've known this verse for quite some time, and I used the word with Dan there. This is a perfect trifecta. What's a perfect trifecta? You pick three things, and they all win. For God has not given to us these three things. He's not given to us, a spirit of fear. See, we should be fearless when we need to do the things that we need to do. You know, when you're in a place like Tracy was talking about, that's a safe place. But what about outside of that? What about at Casey's or wherever you're at, wherever you're walking, where it's a not a safe place, so to speak. It's a different place. Well, where you go makes it safe. That's pretty good. But God has not given to us that spirit of fear, but he's given to us three things, the perfect trifecta: power, love, and a sound mind. Everyone say that. Power, love, and a sound mind. Now, the word power is the word dunamis, where when the power of God fell in Acts chapter 2, the baptism of the Holy Spirit ignited the disciples and apostles, and it's still igniting disciples and apostles to this day. Okay, here's something kind of funny. No, I won't go there. Okay, Lord, I'll be respectful. But I just really thought that was really interesting. The first part of this, though, where it says God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, we know where fear is from. Fear is from the devil. right? But let me tell you a few things about fear. Physiologically, say that with me, physiologically, what happens to your body and your mind, right? Fear will weaken your immune system. Fear will cause cardiovascular damage. Fear will give you GI problems. If your GI is messed up, you're messed up, because that's where you absorb strength, right? Decreases fertility. Causes tachycardia, messing with your heartbeat. Shortness of breath, sweating, tremors, chest pain, nausea, helplessness. Do I need to go on? That's what fear does. So what's faith do? Negates all that, right? It negates it all. And we're given that power of heaven. Second thing in this verse we're given is love. And of course we know what, guess what word that is in the Greek? Agape. Thank you very much. Good, Helen. Agape love. God's love. Not as the world gives, it's God's love. So we got dunamis, and we got agape, and then the sound mind, which is the mind of Christ. And in, somebody said that earlier, I think it was Mary. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, we have, everyone say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I have a clear mind. I have a sharp mind. I have an intelligent mind. We do not fall short. If you think you fall short, you're wrong. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Now, if you have the mind of Christ, you got it. Okay? Don't ever take condemnation about that in Jesus' name. Okay, so that's the perfect trifecta. Jesus is those three things, the power, the love, and the sound mind. And when we have a sound mind, we have three things about the sound mind in the outline that I've got written there. We have a capacity for truth. I don't know about you, but you lie to me, and I'm not real happy about that. Not you all, okay? When someone gives me a lie, man, it just really, I don't know, it burns my bones, right? I should be careful what I say. But anyway, we have a capacity for truth. We are containers of the truth. And the Bible says, thy word is truth. Jesus said that. Thy word is truth. John 17:17, I believe. So we have that capacity to keep the truth of scriptures in our mind and our hearts. And we can perceive divine things. That was awesome what Dan was talking about. Somebody got the revelation of those and let it rip. That's a perceiving of divine things. And then recognizing God in every circumstance and really hating evil. Right now, Mary and I are in a little battle, and I hate the evil. I just hate the evil. But we're going to win. We're winning. All right, Jesus is the perfect trifecta, the power, love, and sound mind. All right, so number two, Jesus is the purpose in life. Everyone say purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It says, God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own, everyone say it, purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. You have to believe that where you're at today is the calling and the purpose of what God has for you, and it will either continue on. He may add more calling and purpose to it. He will add to it. He never takes away unless you finish the project, so to speak. But he's going to give us more calling and purpose, because when you've got a calling and purpose, you can put your feet on the floor and get up and do your day. I got a day. With the plans and purpose and grace of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, that's what we're looking at, verse 9. The purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ, even before time began. Don't you love that? Even before time began. A quote. I kind of robbed it a little bit. It's partially John Maxwell and a few other people. But a person without purpose is like a ship without a rudder. Any old direction will do. I don't care how young, how old, I don't care what your age is, any old direction will do. We need to have that focus on the purpose that God has. And our first and foremost purpose, absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that we might share Jesus Christ with a lost and a dying world. People that don't, Christians that don't feel like they've got a purpose, they've missed the calling. God says, share me. Because I can't go into your world. I can't go into the place where you live. You can't sometimes come into the place where I live. So we need to go into our world and have that purpose of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen, please. Highly successful people know their purpose in life. Highly successful people know their purpose in life. And with due respect, very due respect, I am thankful for the purpose that our present president has. He has got a purpose that I've not seen. It's amazing. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. It says, we humans, this is in the message, I love this. We humans keep brainstorming options and plans, but God's purpose needs to prevail. Amen? So, yes, in the King James, it says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. See, it's okay to make plans. Come on, it's okay to make a plan. But you have to have a heart open to letting God redirect it in his timing for better purposes than what we see. And sometimes we don't know the purpose until we're done, right? We don't always know the reason why until we're done, right? Come on, that's okay. All right, number three. Whew. This is good. The crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. How about before your last breath, unless we're all raptured up, how'd you like to say, I fought the good fight? We need to fight a good fight. We need to tear the devil down and lift up Jesus. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Verse 8. I think there's an 8, is there? Yeah. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Don't you look forward to that? There's a crown of righteousness which Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, not only to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Ooh, baby, I'm telling you. I don't know what that looks like. I didn't ask the Lord what that looks like, but I know it's good. Amen. The crown of righteousness. Praise God. Waiting for those who live holy and long for his coming, Jesus is worth the fight of faith. He's worth it. Every fight you have, every fight you're going to have, and every fight you did have is worth it for the gospel, for the sake of the kingdom. Amen? So, how do we do that fight? Jesus, number four, is our strength. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's a very simple message, isn't it? But, you know, sometimes we just need to be reminded, don't we? That we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of our own might. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of our own might. Is that the right adjective? We can be strong in the power, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Yeah. I can't do it on my own. I can't fight my own battles, but in God I can. David, what a great picture of understanding the power of God in his life. Because in the natural, David would have lost that battle, hands down. He would have lost it before he fought it. But he said, no, I go in the strength of the Lord. I come to you in the name of the Lord. And he tore Goliath down because of that, because of this very, he was strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, I wanted to, I don't know, some of you that maybe took science in high school, you might remember in chemical equations that if there was, you know, in chemistry, things change. You mix up chemicals and they change, it comes to something else, and sometimes they can change back. Well, if you've got an equation where the chemical starts here, the mix starts here, and it moves over to B, and then it goes back, there was an equal sign there with one arrow on the top and one arrow on the bottom. And I was going to do that for the kids, but they weren't here, and I couldn't get it drawn up. So I just put equal signs with arrows on them on the outline there. It says, grace equals strength, and strength equals grace. Hallelujah. I couldn't say it any better. And that's what this verse is about in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong in His grace. Not in your own grace, not in your own power, not in anything you can dream up or stir up. The only thing the Bible tells us to stir up, doesn't tell us to stir up trouble. It says, what? Stir up the gift. Yeah. Stir up the gift that's within you. Y'all got gifts. I got a gift. Say, I got a gift. I got a gift. Amen. So, and we can only do it by His grace, which is strength, and its strength is by grace. So, there you go. That was my best shot on that one. Number five, Jesus is the one. I love this. I love this. Jesus is the one who stands with us. Whatever battles we go through, wherever we are standing, He stands with us. I remember when I had a little fender bender when I was 16, and I was backing out of a driveway, and whoops, there was a little collision. Well, I wasn't paying attention, and neither was the other guy. But I was backing out, so I was the one that would fall. But I remember I told the officer, I said, how do I contest this? So he told me how to contest it, and you can take it to a motor vehicle court. So I went to motor vehicle court. And you know, I didn't get to see my dad very often during his work day. That isn't a negative statement. But he came to court that day, and he stood with me. I stood up to the judge and I said, were there any brake marks? Were there any skid marks where this guy tried to stop and not hit me? He ran into me just as much as I ran into him. I wasn't paying attention, admittedly, but neither was he. So it should have been a no-fault deal. And I stood there and I said, this should be no fault. It's not my fault, not his. We're both at fault here. And the judge said, too bad. You were backing up. You get charged. And my dad stood up and said, that's not right. He stood up for me. He stood by me. And Jesus stands by us. Whatever situation we're in, Mary, He's standing by us. He's standing right with us. Yeah? Now I can't see. There's too much water in here. Yeah. And so here's Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me read it off here. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. You ever had somebody do a lot of harm to you? Sure. May the Lord repay him according to his works. But you almost must beware of him that he has greatly resisted our words. And at my first defense, no one stood with me. Wow. This is Paul. This guy is an amazing man. No one stood with him, but all forsook him. He knew what Jesus felt like right there. Because everybody forsook Jesus. His 12 disciples that Jesus stood and walked with for 3 solid years. Day after day after day. They ate together. They slept together. They went to the latrine together. They did everything together for 3 years. And yet at the cross, where were they? They cowered down. Same thing here. Paul knew exactly what Jesus felt like. And yet he says, may it not be charged against them. He could forgive them. Because church, forgiveness is never optional to the Christian. Never. And you know, when it's hard to forgive somebody, I want to give you a little tip to help you with that. Say it out loud, whether it feels right or not. Lord, I choose to forgive so-and-so. Let it tear their head off. Lord, I forgive so-and-so. Oh, man, can you believe what they did to me? Lord, I forgive so-and-so. Okay, shut your mouth and move on. Lord, I choose to forgive so-and-so. I choose to forgive so-and-so. Lord, somebody's going to need that. I choose to forgive. but the Lord. But, everyone say but. But, when we're lost and dead in our sin, but God, God who is faithful, stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered. I'm sorry, I never saw this before that I remember. I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. I'm not sure. I didn't get time to study it. But if that's real or a spiritual venue, but if it's real, that's pretty cool. We know Paul had a lot of things happen. Remember that he was on that island and he got bit by a very venomous snake. And they all thought he was God because he didn't die instantly. You know, there are snake bites. They'll kill you right now. You're done. And it didn't do it. So that's kind of interesting. But it's delivered out of the mouth of a lion. And so Jesus is the one who stands with us. I love that. He stands right with us in whatever situation that we're in whatever battle we're in. And I'm so thankful for that. So praise God. Well, Lord, that be it. Jesus in 2 Timothy. Praise God. Let's stand. All we can do is say thanks, God. Thanks for being here with us. Thanks for going with us when we leave. Thanks for being with us between now and the next time we can come into the house of God. Thank you, Lord, that you are always with us and you stand with us. You stand with us. In the midst of false accusations, in the midst of trials and tribulations, in the midst of good things. Yeah, we love it when it's good. We love it when it's right. We love it when it's perfect. And you just go, man, it's just like a little piece of heaven. Hallelujah. Yeah, but there's still some challenges. And we just need to walk in the Spirit of God. Walk in the heavenlies. So, Father, we thank you. I just want to pray a blessing on all of you today. Thank you for coming. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his smile, and give you his peace, his shalom, his health, and his peace, and his prosperity. In Jesus' name, say I receive it. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, guys, and see you soon.